Hey everyone, welcome back to GDC Live. We're here in beautiful San Francisco. I'm your host for a little bit, James Montemagno. And I have my good friend, Mr. James White over here from the App Center team. How's it going, James?
It's going good.
Yeah, so you're gonna be coming out. We're gonna be talking about App Center, what the heck it is, what is and what was Hockey App, what game devs can use to not only start building their applications, but test, monitor, get crash reporting.
Yep.
And also take a look at that huge fragmentation, whether they're deploying it on Android or iOS. And that's a problem for me as just a normal app dev, is I go out and I release my app and my game, and I'm supporting 20,000 different Android devices all around the globe, and that's nearly impossible to do. So maybe first, can you kind of set a level here of like, what is App Center itself?
So App Center is really intended to help consolidate a lot of the tools that you need as a developer. Basically, once you've written some code and put it into a repository, means to be able to get your app configured and built, testing your app, getting it out to your users, and then just knowing how the health of your app, monitoring it once it's live with crash and analytics, as you mentioned. There's a lot of tools out there that solve those problems, but now you're managing three, four, five, six different accounts to do all of that.
Yeah.
It's sometimes nice, and it's usually better of an experience when you can consolidate all that, because then these tools can communicate. And that's really the vision we're sharing, not only with just game devs, but just app developers in general.
Got it. And yesterday we had Dimitri on talking about Visual Studio Team Services, and he was showing how you can build some games there.
Yeah.
And it was kind of more about the actual DevOps part of it, right? So you think of team services, you have your work, your code, all that stuff. What is the overlap between App Center and team services? What's the relationship
so
there?
So we definitely help in that DevOps picture for sure. But I would say the direct overlap is going to be build. App Center and Visual Studio Team Services share that kind of common functionality. And there's different use cases for both depending on what your objectives are, quick and lean versus a more hands-on configuration. But where I would say VSTS takes that initial, like you said, code, build, some of the work items, things like that. App Center kind of takes that, and that's where the torch is passed to move on to the rest of those services.
Got it. Okay, so I could think of it as like essential services for my game or app, where I can use maybe one of them, two of them, or all of them, potentially.
Yeah, we really wanted App Center to be a value add. Yeah. And because we're trying to target everyone, we want to make it a service where you use the services that you need and you want and integrate into the tool sets that you have. We built it very modularly. Now, it's our job to make sure our tools work well, that you're compelled to use all of them, but we want people to feel comfortable saying, hey, we're really happy with XYZ.
Yeah.
We just need test. Great. You know, come and use App Center and use that alone for now.
So someone today potentially could be maybe using, let's say you're building a Unity game.
Yeah.
You could be using Unity Build
and
part of Teams, and then you have your game, and then you could do other stuff with it with App Center? Is that
how exactly.
That works? How does that work?
And that's some of what we've done today. So with Unity games in general, it's all about the extensibility with like Unity packages, and App Center is just along that line. Specifically with Unity games, we're going to be deferring to our V1 version of App Center services with Hockey App.
Yeah.
But with Hockey App services, you integrate the Unity SDK or the Unity package, configure it with obviously pointing at the app IDs, and you're up and running and ready to go with the extra services. Some of them actually don't even care, like test and distribution largely just care about an app bundle. Do you have an app bundle that you can use? Great, you can start using those services right away, and it's very agnostic in that perspective.
Got it. And I think even as a game developer, when I'm developing a game, I could be developing like a companion application.
Yeah.
And of course, my game, you know, could be Unity based, maybe Mono game based, or something else. You know, Cocoa Sharp, something Cocoa CD. Essentially, any of those. Or I could just be literally using iOS's core APIs for mobile, I guess, as well. So, or even desktop Mac OS, right?
Yeah.
Creating the games there. So what all does App Center support today? Like, if I'm coming in as a new
let's see if this start page. This is
there
actually neat. Really, we try and cover a breadth and depth. So, bringing App Center where you are. So, iOS native, Objective-C Swift, Java for Android, and I think Kotlin to some degree as well. Obviously, Xamarin apps covering that kind of wide base. UWP apps. Mac OS is in preview but available. Cordova, React Native. I'm still waiting to meet a React Native game dev here at GDC. I have not found one yet. There may be someone out there.
I think that's also the interesting part, too, is when you think games, a lot of people think, this crazy 3D graphics, you know, your console-based games, but a lot of games that I play are the threes of the world or the 2048s, you know,
yeah.
I mean, the more, not necessarily simplistic games, but, you know, games that are of different style, that
yeah.
you know, are maybe just drawing to the actual canvas themselves and,
yeah.
and touching and using the core APIs that really it's just an app for Android or for iOS.
Yep.
Or in the terms of UWP, you're creating a UWP app that happens to be a game.
Yep.
So today you could actually just build all of that, what I kind of mentioned, inside of App Center.
Yeah, we're trying to create that flexibility and again, it's not all about just the big powerful engines, but native applications, and App Center really is built for apps,
okay.
which games are a subset of that.
Got it. And here then, so if I was building with MonoGame, mm-hmm. I could, it's just a Xamarin app
yep.
and a UWP app, so I could build and here, and then the same thing for Android, iOS, and you mentioned some of the other ones, like tvOS.
Yeah, yeah.
Building a tvOS game.
tvOS, we have on our roadmap. It's okay. Definitely something we want to visit,
yeah.
But hopefully soon.
Okay, cool. Could you kind of scroll down and what all is part of App Center? Because I know we've mentioned a few things, like oh, I'm building something, I'm testing it, but there's a lot to App Center, right? It's not just build tests, it's a lot more.
Yeah, yeah,
services.
So we'll kind of go high up, and again, there's the idea of modularity, but there's also the idea that these services do start playing in together, but it's easy just to kind of line item the main pillars, you could say.
Yeah.
So build integration, as you can see, VSTS, GitHub and Bitbucket are the repositories we support, all cloud-based right now,
yep.
To where you hook up to those code repositories, you can configure builds, and it's really nice. Push your code to those repositories, automatically configure a build and get a result. Typically makes more sense with collaborative teams versus individual developers. You want to make sure that you have your branches and you make sure your branches build, you make sure your master branch builds.
Yeah.
But it's nice to be able to have that integration and get that running. So you can see you can configure on a branch-based basis and have that continuous integration process set up. Test is always a fun topic for me. It's a really important space in mobile. There's nuances with games, and we'll talk about that probably a little bit later, but the high level idea is being able to, one, write automation scripts to automate your app. Doesn't necessarily work as well with games, because most games are non-deterministic, and you don't necessarily want to explore the ability to bot a game. People don't like exposing botting for some reason.
Yeah.
But usually, more so, the automation APIs from like Android and iOS, they don't know how to communicate with, say, game engines. So if you want to get that to work, you have to do work on the back end.
Got it.
But it can be done. That's half of testing, is writing automation scripts, because it's faster to run automation than do it manually. It's also running on devices. So we've got about over 4,000 Android and iOS devices in labs around the world that you can run your test scripts on.
Okay.
But especially for game devs, they're not ruled out, because sometimes a valid test, and I'll show this later, a perfectly valid test is launch my app and just verify that it works.
Yeah.
Being able to just verify that your app is supported on the hundreds and thousands of configurations out there is half the battle in many ways.
Yeah, I remember, I've had a whole different slew of different Android devices as an Android user, and I've definitely downloaded some games where it just pops up, it's like, oh, this isn't supported, or it can crash, and from a game developer point of view, it's really hard to just buy all those devices.
I mean,
especially if, like me, I'm just a solo indie dev, it's gonna be really hard for me to spend thousands upon thousands of dollars compared to like, oh, I can just throw it up on App Center and see it run really quick.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, part of it is maybe you don't test your app with automation, but there's ways to validate things later.
Yeah.
Obviously, once you've built your app, it's usually good to get your app in the hands of people to try it out. So we support distribution as well, and this is where the legacy Hockey App services built into it, if you're familiar with Hockey App. It's that idea of I have a close-knit group of friends. I've built my first revision of a game. I'm not ready to publish, but I want to get feedback. So maybe I have my close friends and family that I want to send it out to, and they'll get an email and can start downloading and installing right away.
Yeah.
Android, iOS, UWP, all of that. You can also create public groups as well. So, you know, someone like you has a Twitter following. Great, here's my game. Post it on Twitter. You can get that feedback. You don't know them personally, but you can start at least gathering followers and users.
And that's kind of nice, too, because if you think of how you normally have to go through other channels, like, oh, I need to go to Test Flight for iOS.
Yeah.
So, all right, I'm going to create a Test Flight group, and maybe I create, a registration page, or I need to collect device IDs.
Yeah.
Got to go through this process, and then every time I got to upload, it's got to process. Where here, am I able to just like take my iOS or Android app and just like just say go? Yep. How does that work?
The upload portal basically, there's two ways you can really do it. One is that if you've got IPA APK, you upload it, create your distribution groups or select your groups that you've created, usually by email invites or again public links, and then send it out, maybe with some release notes. There's also the ability, again, tying back into that integration, if you use the build service, you can actually trigger and configure the build to say, on build success, automatically distribute, or from distribution, hey, use this latest build that I had and distribute it. So you can, again, tie these services together to be able to make a cohesive project stream. Now, you mentioned iOS. There is still some of that device management, but our portal and our tools will help capture some of that data. So you say, hey, this person's on an iOS device you don't have on your profile. Here's the UDID, re-register it, recert.
Now, what if I'm a game dev today and I already have my CI set up, so I'm already I'm building in maybe VSTS or maybe I'm using Unity build or I'm using something else, but I have my app. Like, am I able to use these services?
Yep,
like these
absolutely. Two so far? Again, it just looks at the app. It just requires an app bundle. So as long as you've been able to build something, you can start distributing with it.
Yeah, so there's nothing else to, that's what I want. Is there anything I need to install into my app?
Not with distribution, no, to get it working.
All right, or with test?
With test, iOS, not necessarily. It depends on the automation framework you use. But in general, not really.
All right, cool. And then what other services do we have? There's three so far, but I know there's a lot more.
See what's just the website's providing. So Crash, and this is where like this is also can tie into games. Like, you know, you've done your launch test, you've verified your game works, but maybe you haven't been able to write scripts because it's not easy. This is where Crash reporting comes in, because testing is to help you find bugs and issues. Once you've shipped your game, once you shipped your app in general, there's nothing more painful as a developer just to see one-star review, the developer hates me, it doesn't work on my phone. You know, and this is where Crash Reporting comes in, and there's a lot of services out there that provide this, and we really, again, want to create that integrated experience. So you can have that as part of your app portal of just, this is the health of my app. And we expose a lot of the stuff that you're going to need. Stack traces, crash reports, insight on the app. Also things like devices affected, frequency. You can hook it up to your bug tracker, so you're using VSTS or GitHub. Hook it up to those services so it automatically creates bugs for you. You can prioritize them based on issues. And you know, maybe you're not able to do test automation, but then you can say, oh, I'm seeing a lot of issues on this specific Android device. You can either try and prioritize or say, you know what, maybe this isn't a device I want to support.
So kind of as a developer point of view, I'm able to kind of use some of these services to help me build a better application at the end of the day.
Yes.
Learn from my users what devices are crashing, because it may work great on my Pixel 2 XL, but it doesn't mean it's going to work great on a Samsung S3, for instance, right? So I would see that data, and then I can prioritize based off of it. And it seems like it's integrating into my existing tools.
Yep.
Because you said that you already support Bitbucket, VSTS, and GitHub for building, but also you said, if I get a crash, it'll automatically open an issue for me.
Yeah,
really cool.
AppCenter was built API first, so those are some examples where we've got some of the we've got direct documentation on like GitHub and VSTS to hooking up in those tools. But there's nothing saying you can't use like our APIs to hook up into other services as well.
Yeah,
And pipe some of that data. That's actually some of the stuff that we're looking. We try and find unique ways to consume it ourselves. And you know, here at GDC, we have that PlayFab offer, and we've been talking with the PlayFab team to see if we can't collaborate more and use our APIs to say maybe pipe some of that crash data into the PlayFab portal.
Oh, I see.
That's something that they've been wanting to use for a while, and you know, let's have a collaboration there.
Got it.
But one thing I also wanted to hit on is, you know, you said you can use crash to get metrics and information. Well, we actually do have direct analytics built into our app. Now, I would say it's going to build more as sort of a high level like business view. But you want to have that. You want to kind of have like a snapshot of the health of your app. How often your app's being used, how long, what types of devices, the frequency, version adoption, and all of that's available with AppCenter as kind of a high-level snapshot.
Yeah, I know as an app developer too, it's also good for me to be able to track, like, all right, so I've added 4 buttons for in-app purchases, you know what I mean? How many times are people tapping on something and then abandoning it? Or how many times have people added, you know, a gem into their cart, or is it just sitting there? How many times are people going to that settings page, and how important is it? And the very first thing I ever did as a developer, an app developer about 6.5 years ago when I was getting started was, all right, I have 10 different parts of my app.
Yeah.
What's in, like, what are people using?
Yep.
I think that's some of the quick learn, quick win. And I was building some very like heavy DVR applications early on, and I realized that, 75% of my users go to one section.
Yep.
And I'm like, wow, that section of the app has to be the best section, because 75% of the people are there. Where for me as a developer, I'm like, everything has to be amazing, right?
Yeah.
Well, they should be, but maybe I should really focus to really ensure that's a great experience. So it seems like I can use
yep.
this to really
so
gain that insight.
Integrating the SDK, and again, with Crash and Analytics, it's just integrate the SDK and maybe one line to initialize. Analytics, you can do programmatic event tracking. So like you said, you know, you add new features, see discoverability for it. You can start programming events to say how often. Common thing with games, you know, how often are people actually getting to our store, making a purchase? Or you could do something like, I'm making network intensive API calls. What's the performance like? So when you make the API call, internally start a timer. When the API call finishes, trigger an event, say this was the time. You can add like properties in a dictionary format to get more in-depth information into your app as well.
And often in a game, you are actually already tracking all that time. I start a level, how long did it take me to finish?
Yeah.
What was the speed run time? And go back and forth.
Very, very possible. Cool. Yeah. So last major feature we got is we're also integrating push notifications.
Oh, cool.
This is built on the vision of what Notification Hubs has.
Sure.
So this is kind of what we see as the next revision of what Azure Notification Hubs is doing. Cross-platform push notifications.
Very cool.
Pretty standard, being able just to make it easier to send targeted push out to users.
And it seems like if you're using a cross-platform framework, then also you have a cross-platform SDK, I assume, that you can do, or you have iOS, Android.
You have iOS, Android SDKs, but the API calls are going to be very, very similar,
cool.
working from similar portal. You still have to do some of the registration on like APNS and Firebase, but we help even automate some of that creation for you as well.
All right, now I want you were showing me something really cool before we got on, which is the very second section that we talked about, which was test.
Yes.
And you said that, you know, one thing as a game developer that's important is to make sure my app runs and my game runs on different devices. So you said that you took an app, you took a game, and you just threw it into App Center.
Yes.
So maybe walk through what we're seeing here on the screen.
Yeah, so this is the actual App Center portal. And what we've got here is our test service. And again, you can kind of see an overview of the different services broken down
everything
on the left.
Everything we just talked about.
Yep, exactly. And so this is test. And I literally set this up in about 20 minutes this morning because I've been talking about it. And I wanted to just put the proof to the pudding and show it's there. So this game is a fork of the Unicorn Dash game from the PlayFab team, which we're showing here at GDC. So if you go to any of the PlayFab booths, you can actually play it. It's a really cool, like, it's one of those like carnival type games where it's like these little horses on pegs and you try and race across the board.
Got it.
Very, very fun and cute. I obviously don't have access to a lot of in-depth knowledge on the game, but I had access to the build of the app as we've been collaborating. And so what I did is I basically created a new Xamarin UI test template in Visual Studio for Mac, and then I...
Oh, this is just an Android app at the end of the day.
It's just an Android app, and so I just had the Android APK, brand new template. The only code I added was I pointed to the APK so it would actually load the correct app, and then I added a bit of a wait, just because the app has like a couple of loading screens of powered by Unity and do this, and I just wanted to make sure we got to our home screen to verify the app actually loads.
So this is a Unity game?
This is a Unity game.
It's a Unity Android game.
Unity Android game, I just pulled the APK.
Yeah, not built, it's not even built inside of App
Not
Center.
A built inside of App Center. It took more time for me to actually fill out the CLI and just wait for the test run. And I actually want to go back real quick. One thing that's worth noting, so I ran this on 6 devices. It was just, again, a quick and dirty proof of concept of, you know, let's make sure this works. 6 devices took 10 minutes.
Yeah, not bad.
Took 10 minutes to just launch my app and get this feedback back, but there's no reason why it can't be scaled out, and I intend to try that later today. So you can see here, I actually just went into our tools, and I'll show how this is configured. But I just grabbed what is we consider some of the more popular devices right now. So you can see like Google Pixel XL, Nexus 5X, Huawei P10, Samsung Galaxy S8. And so these are just actual screenshots of the game.
And different versions of Android, too.
The different
7
versions
and 7.1.2.
Yeah, so I'll show a little bit more of that later. But yeah, this is just verification. I can be confident that this game at least launches on these devices.
Yeah.
And that, again, that's a real sanity check of just reassurance.
And it's kind of cool because you have the device crumb. Does anything happen when you, can you get more information about this stuff?
So
here?
It's worth noting, these are actual screenshots from these devices.
So this is a real physical device.
I think I'd have to reiterate that, a simulator. Yeah.
But I think sometimes for me, I'm just like, oh, I'm just going to put on my emulator. I'm like, that's good. You're saying this is a real like Pixel XL sitting somewhere.
Yeah, in some ways we have done the kind of crazy thing in managing and purchasing and maintaining these, you know, 4,000 some devices. But yeah, you know, digging in, here's our Pixel XL. I get kind of a nice breakdown of it. I can get details of the actual phone.
There's the device, yeah.
One of the big things, you can kind of see how much memory the actual app is consuming, which is interesting. So maybe we're worried about memory performance, and if the app's actually consuming too much, well, you can track that. Launching the game, you know, 400 megs, not too bad.
Yeah.
And then you can also break down to see how long it actually took to run the test. So it only took about 10 seconds, and most of that 10 minutes was probably spinning up the device, installing some of that configuration overhead of just naturally running a device test.
Nice.
If in the case there were issues, we do expose logs and stack traces and test errors, so I can always check that out if I'm doing logging.
Oh, yeah.
One of the cool things that one team is doing, so we've got a blog post coming out about this next week, so stay tuned because they'll go in more detail. But actually, the Minecraft team here at Microsoft, they're actually using our test service, and what they're doing is essentially a launch test, but then they just run a bunch of unit tests in the back end, and so most of their test verification is through logs.
Oh, I see.
So for us, this is the extent of what you'd see, but they're able to still run automation or more unit testing on devices that they maybe don't have access to.
Because there might be a bunch of logic that you have, and you can just trigger that off through the SDK and the test runners.
Yeah. So I'm really excited to have that come out, because they're doing some really cool stuff.
How would someone set this up? Can we go through setting it up? I'm super interested.
So test run on this side, new test run, and then I'll go to the configurations, and this is kind of where the fun begins.
Ah, okay.
In that you could see as I kind of scroll through.
Look at all
those devices. Lots and lots of devices. You can also filter.
Give me the oldest phone. I want the
oldest
phone.
Let's see, OS versions. We're not gonna try running, but we've got this LG Optimus One running Android 2. There is
it's
probably
gonna run the game amazing.
Yeah, we are probably the last person to have a device like this.
Can you see the performance on it? I'm just kidding. Get that info button.
Let's see what we got. Scroll around.
Oh yeah. We got that 320 by 480.
512 RAM, 600 meg.
That reminds me of my very first smartphone.
This is great.
2010 release. That's kind of cool because you can almost start to see, like, all right, how far back, not only operating system, but kind of date time shot of when I am creating a frequently asked questions or officially supported tested devices for my game or for my app, I can actually start iterating and put some of this information in there.
Yeah.
Very cool. Especially if you have that memory usage and CPU usage.
Yeah.
You can actually
likely with this bad boy, if you tried to run the game, I think it would crash.
It'd be amazing.
Really, really good insight. But and one thing as well. Well, I'm gonna deselect this because I don't wanna lose my Fedora's OS versions. Take a look. One of the things as well in terms of devices is I always get asked, how do you have this coverage? Let's just look at this 5X. So for the 5X XL, you can see, we have 8.0 and we have 7 of them available. So if there's breadth of them to cover in case other people are using it, but obviously we have a 5X running 7. So sometimes it's like, hey, let's see if there are any changes. I'm gonna run the exact same device. What happened from 7 to 8? Is that okay? I've absolutely seen cases where apps have crashed on new OS versions just because of changes. Whether or not the device state, whether the device state is same.
And we have these for iOS as well?
iOS as well. Okay. Right now, our App Center is configured by apps, so this is going to look specifically at Android apps.
That makes sense, yeah.
But yeah, all of that's there. So we'll kind of jump back into the test run. This is actually the device configuration. I had previously saved this as kind of a smoke test group of devices that I wanted to use.
What are these things here, these test frameworks?
Yeah, so we support a variety of test frameworks based on the apps you're using. Out of the box, Espresso and XCUI test for Android and iOS, those are the native frameworks. And then you've got some cross-platform frameworks like Appium, Calabash, and Xamarin UI test.
All right, so if you're used to, or you maybe already have some tests that are built in, you could just integrate them in.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And that's the key, is being able to integrate with some existing test solutions.
Cool.
And clicking next, you'll see some configuration if you haven't done so, and this is really where the magic happens. Is it just becomes a CLI call. So integrate it to your own DevOps process, or I just did it again from the own terminal on my Mac.
So if you are using like either VSTS or maybe you have some other CI system, maybe you're using Jenkins or something like that, or even Jenkins in Azure, for instance, so whatever you're building, or if you're just on your computer at home, I can just run this command, shove it up there, boom, and I'm going to have it inside.
Yeah, it really points to a lot of things. You can see I've got my app, I've got my device set. You'll point to the APK folder, and then you'll just point to wherever your test build directory is. And some of this will change based on the framework that you're using.
Yeah. Um,
but the concept is the same across
the
board.
So if I had a test team, does my test team even need to have the source code to do something?
No, they just need a an app build. It's all about just having that APK or IPA. And that's what's nice is it gives that test team that kind of more black box thing of being able to test from the outside, and then it makes the test more authentic in many ways.
We got 5 minutes left, so what about some of the analytics part of it? You know, there was some crossover between App Center and Hockey App.
Yeah, I want to stick with the same Unicorn Dash demo that we're using. Again, Unity Games, App Center just came out last November as a GA, so we're still working on things. We haven't quite got Unity SDK support native in App Center yet.
Got it.
Which is fine, we'll get there.
But you could still today use tests
and distribute.
And then if you're building with other frameworks, such as MonoGame or some of the other ones, such as the native stacks, good to go. So, of course, there's a lot in game development that you could be using, and App Center is going to integrate more gracefully in some, but
we're focused on Unity
today.
Focus
on some other ones.
This is the actual Unicorn Dash demo. I worked with the PlayFab team to get it because we wanted to make it so that we could distribute it internally at Microsoft and test our game before we demoed it here at GDC. And so, you know, here's that same Android app that I demoed. You can kind of see some metrics. You can also see we kind of had an uptick recently. But we also had an uptick on crashes. So first of all, we'll just go. If you notice, there's kind of an uptick in correlation with when GDC started. Probably an idea of when people started using the demo here on the floor. So these are actual live results from GDC here today.
Oh, cool.
Whereas, you know, we maybe could have tested a little more previously.
Yeah.
But also I want to just kind of point out, you know, this is where analytics and things comes into play. You can see we had a little bit of a problem yesterday. And that we had some crashes.
A little bit better today.
It's a little bit better today. And what happened was, and this is an absolute 100% true story, as I've been working with the dev on it, is we saw, you know, a lot of crashes yesterday. And we were able to dig in to these crashes and found that basically we had some poor networking conditions. For some reason, all these people using internet is making it hard to use the internet here at GDC. And it was affecting our ability to do some of the network-based operations.
Got it.
So he was able to go in and literally last night write some updates to handle some of that more smoothly. So, you know, put the stuff in your app. It actually does work, and you know, we're using it live right now.
Yeah, a lot of people think like, oh, do I need to track every little thing? No, like a lot of times my applications, I just spin up just the base analytics and the base crash reporting.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to track everything, like, oh, I already have my app out there. I just want to get a quick update out. Let me just initialize it, and I get a bunch of stuff for free, essentially.
That's all this is. I installed the Unity package, pointed it to the app secret just so that it would send data, and that was it. Getting all of this and able to make decisions based on that.
Got it. Now, this is inside a Hockey app, but you know, it says try App Center. We were talking about App Center. So what is there a migration path? What does this look like here?
Exactly. So I'm going to just scroll down here. So anyone who uses Hockey App today, Hockey App's V1, App Center's V2.
Got it.
Anyone who's using Hockey App, the apps that you're using there will show up in App Center. As you can see here, this is a subset of my apps.
There's Unicorn Dash right there. Yeah.
There's Unicorn Dash. So you can see, like, this is the actual Hockey App. It is showing up side by side. Right now, we don't support Unity, but what we will do is once we get that Unity support in, I'll pull up another one. We'll enable that data. We are porting that data side by side. So Hockey App users today, for native apps supported platforms, they're going to see the exact same data on Hockey App and App Center. And over time, as we get App Center to a more complete state versus what Hockey App is offering, we'll eventually start winding down the Hockey App service and just start pointing people and onboarding them more directly. But since we have all that data side by side, you'll get it anyway.
So it sounds like today I'm a developer coming in. If I'm using Unity, it sounds like we got a Unity SDK for Hockey App.
Yep.
All that data will come over, but even if you're using Unity, you can still use the distribution, the test part of it that are there. If you're building with other frameworks, such as something core in just an iOS or an Android or UWP app, or a MonoGame or a Xamarin app, App Center is your go-to, essentially.
Exactly.
Because it is a V2, it's ready, good to go, and we'll be adding more and more Unity support coming forward.
Exactly.
Now, where do people go? Where do they go?
So, simple thing, appcenter.ms.
AppCenter.ms.
Yep, free to sign up. Distribution crash analytics, by the way, completely free services.
Yeah, how much does this thing cost?
Yeah. So AppCenter, in general, we've tried to make it as much as free as possible. So again, distribution crash analytics, you might as well get started.
See, pricing, tap on
there
pricing.
There we go.
We got a minute. Boop. There you go, free. I like free.
So build service, if you're using some of the native apps, you can build up to 4 hours a month.
Oh,
test,
cool.
We have a 30-day trial. For some reason, it costs a lot of money to buy a lot of devices, so it will take some time. But again, if you're here at GDC, we have an offer that if you sign up for Azure PlayFab and App Center, you get a year free of a test concurrency, which is about $100 a month of value.
Nice.
And again, to do launch tests, that'll cover your use case quite nice. And then again, whether you're in Hockey App or App Center, distribution crash analytics, it's a couple of SDK lines and just an app build for distribution. You might as well just try it and get started. Yeah. Push also is generally free right now. It's in preview. There will be some pricing later for it, but it's still in preview, so it doesn't matter.
Analytics, crash reporting, distribution, completely 100% free. Cool. Awesome. James, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Awesome. Well, go check it out, appcenter.ms. We'll be back in about 15 with more live from GDC.
See ya.